Good afternoon. This is Betty Bronner. I am speaking for the Jewish Community Center Family History Project. It is January 11th, 1991, and I am narrating the story of Etta Zaltzman Pass. Her family was from the town of Brody in Kovnogoberna, as were the Klempner, the Waterman family, and her family, the Zaltzmans. And apparently due to knowing a rabbi in Terre Haute, Indiana, the Waterman family came first to Terre Haute and the others followed. The originals of this family, Isaac Zaltzman and Lena Klempner, who were Etta Zaltzman Pass's parents, wanted to get married when they were in Europe, but the family disapproved. And so she did not marry him, and they came across an ocean to marry. At that point, the family was happy to have them marry because they didn't know that many other people and that many other Jewish people, and they were married. Lena Klempner and Isaac Zaltzman began to live their life, and unfortunately, Lena became aware that Isaac was working on Saturday. She became so enraged that she went all the way back to Europe. She finally came back again to the United States when he promised and swore that he would never work on Saturday on the Sabbath again. They ultimately moved to Louisville because there was a mikveh in Louisville, which was very important to her. This interesting lady, Lena Klempner, was a tall, slim woman who always had a mindful thought of not gaining weight. If she buttoned her skirt and it seemed too tight, she cut down on her food. This strategy must have worked because she had, even in her 90s, an unwrinkled complexion and a smooth, taut body. She may also have had a fast metabolism because she ate constantly. She was a very devout, intelligent lady who had a group of women in for tea and goodies and earnest conversation every Sabbath. It was apparently a very lovely afternoon, as Etta, her youngest daughter, remembers. Etta Zaltzman Pass was the youngest child, and her mother was 48 when she arrived. She didn't really tell anyone of her pregnancy at first because she was 48 and didn't think it was seemly. She was like an only child because the others, being much older, were married and away from home. Still, she says that the older siblings paved the way for her, helping her to overcome the strict rulings of her mother. This lady, Lena, as proper as she was, once bought a bathing suit and tried it on in the privacy of her own backyard, but over a pair of long underwear. Lena Zaltzman Klempner was also a great cook and baker. She was known to take a wagon of her warm home-baked rolls to the hay market at the end of a shopping day in order to get the produce that was left over that she needed in trade for her warm rolls. She was always shrewd and very successful. Lena was at a loss when the dial telephone appeared. Her eyes were bad, and so dialing was impossible. She baked the familiar rolls and took them to the telephone company, where she explained her problems. The telephone company assured her that she could dial O for operator, that she could see, and she could tell them who she was, and they would dial the number desired for her. She afterward made her calls in such a manner. Hello, operator. This is Lena Zaltzman. I have to call my daughter. I need to tell her to come by. I've made a wonderful, nice pot of soup. And she, according to her daughter, Etta, also told some intimate details in these conversations. True to her role as baker, educator, and hospitable entertainer, she would bring home after shul the young students from the shuls and the schools to her Saturday gatherings. At one of these, two of the men disagreed and got into a fight or violent disagreement. Lena stood up and said, "Look, this is my table, this is the Sabbath, and you can't behave this way at my table. Now, you two stand up and shake hands." They did. One of them said nicely, "All right, you son of a bitch." Lena, who knew no curse words, said, "Now, that's better." This same lady went to temple on Yom Kippur always and stood unwaveringly until the end of the service. When she was older, when others were restless or seemed ready to give in to exhaustion, Rabbi Brilliant said, "How can you do that? Look up at Mrs. Zaltzman, standing in the women's area of the upper balcony. She is 90, and she's still standing." Lena's remarkable life was also outstanding in her charity to the needy. She would go to the cemetery and fast all day, sitting down with her big purse open for people to drop money into. She didn't object to pennies. She was satisfied with anything that was given to her. The purse was heavy at the end of the day. She walked home with it, and they counted out the money. If it didn't come out even, Etta says, they made up the difference. This money was for charity. Often the rabbis called her, saying they had need for money for food or lodging or clothing, for a transient out of funds. She always gave, but she never told who the money was for or what it was for. To her, the act of giving was enough. She did not want to offend anyone ever by divulging their need. One time, someone asked Lena, "What are you going to do with that money?" "I'm going to buy a new refrigerator," she retorted. The old cemetery near that she was sitting in was Agudim. Her husband believed in her and in his religion, but he also loved baseball. After Shabbat supper, he would take Etta and say they were going to the library. Actually, they would go to Parkway Field to the baseball game. He loved baseball. They were allowed to sit in the press box due to a cousin's connection. One time, furious at a call on the playing field, Isaac threw a bottle from the press box at an umpire, and they were thrown out of the press box. Etta grew up on Madison Street near Preston, in the midst of a very Jewish neighborhood. They sat outside in the summer, and everyone, she says, knew everyone else's business. A date, a new dress, a visitor, all was common knowledge. Everyone knew everyone's business. Many, many Louisville Jewish families began there. For Etta to go to high school was a great concession by her mother. For Lena's brothers did not let her go to school. Her parents deceased, they needed her to cook and keep house. So she did not really think Etta's going to high school was very important. She was, after all, a girl. However, Etta did finally go and graduate. And at graduation, Lena was very proud of her daughter, that she was one of the few girls in that class. She even bought her a new white dress, one of the few times a new dress. Lena died at home after a short one-week illness, and the rabbi made everyone leave the room as he did a confessional service before she died, which was very, very unusual. While Etta was living, she was also a fine tailoress or dressmaker. She had a dressmaking, tailor-making tailor shop over upstairs where they lived. She had ladies in to also from the synagogues to sew shrouds for the Jewish people who passed away. And of course, it was very fine, tedious needlework, and Etta remembers that they would sew the shroud and then they would get up and walk around in it. And she taught all of the ladies from the other synagogues how to put the shrouds together and how to make them. She kept up with this practice until after Etta was married, and then she decided that she would do her sewing in the shul. Etta tells us that the old YMHA was a very important part of her growing up. There were sports played there, and there were clubs, and it was just a center of social life, and they went there a great deal. Etta's husband, Dave, was from New York. He came to Louisville to work at the Waterman's department store. His father was from Kovna Gaberna, and his mother was a most avid East Side New Yorker and thought there was no other place. Etta tells us that life at her home with her mother was a fun one because her mother, with a bright mind, was always very lighthearted and gay, and that it was great to be around her and to be at her table because there was always a lot of fun. She also had a few words that she never really learned to complete in English. And one of the favorite words that all of them remember from her is her birthday instead of birthday. And she came down on the high holidays from her seat. Every year the entire synagogue would sing happy birthday to her. Another interesting addition was that Etta Zaltzman Pass never had a birth certificate. Having had many children, for some reason, we don't know what, her mother never had a birth certificate done for her. And up until many years later, it really had no importance. But when she became older and wanted Social Security, she had to have two people go to a magistrate and swear in front of them that she was born on the first light of Hanukkah. Some of the people who lived around this family on Madison near Preston were the Applebaums, the Leapsons, the Menzins, the Epsteins, and the Obriskies. This narrative was made due to a tape failure, and the addition will be in Etta Pass's own words. This is Betty Bronner for Family History signing off.
Than that your mother came here and liked it here in the city was because of the mikveh?
And there were so many Jews here and so many synagogues.
Kosher.
And she could get kosher food more easily.
I see.
That was important to her.
Oh, of course, at that time. And so after you and Dave married, then you spent your life in Louisville?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She was. And grandmother came out and she said, "Poopsie Kayla hits the spot."
Yeah.
That's right. Remember that?
Yeah.
Can you tell us once more the story about in Shul, about them singing to her and about her standing?
Well, when she came down after Yom Kippur services were over and she came down, it was her birthday, and they all came, she came down from the balcony, they all sang happy birthday to her.
Yeah. That's wonderful.
They really did.
Is there any way of getting a copy of that?